Your glory's out through the air. all saints declaring your great renown. Your kingdom forever will stand. We won't be shaken. We will not fear. Thy God, a mighty warrior, you're a consuming fire. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name. Jesus, the great commander, you conquer death forever. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name. And we declare your name is power. Exalted one, your name is higher. You stand alone, a strong defender. Above you there's no other. And we declare your name is power. Exalted one, your name is higher. You stand alone, a strong defender. Above you there's no other. 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 Jesus, a mighty warrior. You're a consuming fire. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name. Jesus, the great commander. You conquer death forever. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name. Of a Savior, the hope of nations. Yeah, Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Oh. So take me as you find me. All of my fears and failures. Feel my life again. I give my life. Follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. I surrender. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save.
Glory of the risen King. But you were too someone like me, yeah, to carry your victory.
No.
Your rejection couldn't earn it. You give what we don't deserve it. Take the broken things and raise them. To receive it, so let all the striving cease. This is my victory.
You are my champion.
Giants fall.
Giants fall when you stand undefeated.
I have the authority Jesus has given me. When I open up my mouth, miracles start breaking out. I have the authority Jesus has given me.
I open my voice and shout,
everyone crashing. I have the authority Jesus has given me.
Jesus has given me.
When I open up my mouth,
Thank you, Lord. We do love you, Father. We love you, Lord, because you are you. We thank you, Father, for all that you've done in our lives. We thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to die a terrible death, to save us from our sins and our wrongdoings, and to bring eternal life to us, as well as healings and the blessings that you give us as a child of yours. We love you, Father. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just stand in his presence for a few moments, lifting our hearts, our minds, our ears to the Father, and let's just express our love for him. Church, in our community. We love you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Good morning and welcome to the Carpenter Shop International Church. We're glad to see you this morning. It's amazing the things that we go through during the week. I saw somebody's post early this morning that they were excited to come into the house of the Lord and be filled with his presence in the presence of others. Isn't that kind of nice as a family? You know, a lot of times we like to go home. Anybody, you know, you can get your fill of it, yes. But when it's been a while and you need that support and that love, and you're going through difficult times, we like to go slide our feet under mama's table, right? We like to get into home. We like to take a nap in dad's recliner. Is anybody with me? There's nothing like home. Yesterday, after a long day of work, Zach stopped by our home. Thankfully, he was working near our house. That's why he stopped by. But he stopped by. He raided my refrigerator. And he has grown up a little bit and said, "Mom, are these deviled eggs in here for a reason?" I said, "No, just for to eat." So anyway, he raided the refrigerator. He had some chicken wings and some leftover broccoli cheese soup and a lot of deviled eggs, some cheese, some crackers, you know, just finding whatever he could. Then he went and stretched out on the sofa, pretending to play with our dog. The next thing we knew, Zach was taking a nap. Yeah. So after a few minutes, maybe an hour, he gets up and says, "Okay, it's good seeing y'all. I'm going home." And Wallace and I chime in, "Be careful riding, driving home. Love you." And he's on his way. And after he left, I thought, wouldn't it be so nice to go to my mom and dad's house? They're not here anymore. Slide my feet under their table, raid their refrigerator, her homemade pickles and things like that. Leftover biscuits, you know, thrown in the microwave. Take a nap and then come home to my house. That's the way it is when we come to the Father and we begin saying, "I love you, Lord. Oh, I love you, Lord. Oh, I love you, Lord. And you begin to feel His presence surround you. And you feel at home. And you just allow Him to engulf you with that love. To be reminded of the security we walk in with our Father. Even when we've done stupid things, wrong things, dumb things, and walked outside of His plan in our lives, we can still come to Him and say, God, I love you. I love you. And we can begin to feel His presence again. Yes, He's always there for us. The door is always open. The refrigerator is full. And you can take a nap on His sofa. It's so good to be together today and to feel God's presence today. I don't know about you, but this week with our prayer time, it challenged me. It challenged me to look beyond my circumstances and to focus on Jesus. To look beyond what I'm going through personally and focus on God. Who He is. His strength endures forever. He's the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. He's my healer. But He also provides that sense of home, that peace, that calm, that security when all the world has gone crazy. That's who our Father is. I hope you took the challenge. But if you didn't, there's still papers out there in the hallway that you can grab and do it this week. If it was good enough for last week, it's good enough for this week. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He will bless us when we focus on Him. When we have our prayer time and our alone time with Him. When we read His Word. Let's just continue to worship the Lord today. And at this time, we ask that you bring your tithes and offerings. We have buckets up at the front and at the back. Feel free to do that as now.
Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, all you people. Come on. Thank God. So good to be in the house of the Lord today. And obviously, there are some empty seats. There's a lot of people that are struggling with colds and what's that other thing they call in COVID. You heard about that, haven't you, in the last 3 years? All right. But you know what? God is God. Amen. And so can we just pause for a moment and just ask the Lord to help those who are sick and to help you not get sick. Come on, anybody? Praise the Lord. Father, we just rejoice that You're in control of our lives. Nothing catches You by surprise. The Word says You don't slumber nor sleep. The Word says You're the shade at our right hand. And You'll spare us from the arrows that fly. And so, God, we thank You, God, that Your hand is upon us. And yes, Lord, sometimes we get sick. But You're our healer. You're our healer. So I speak peace over every person who's struggling today, online, at home, in person. And Lord, we plead the blood of Christ over these people. And we just ask you to minister to us today, God. Take your word and deposit it into our spirit that we'll be different. We'll be changed. We'll look at life and its opportunities from a different lens. And God, we just trust you today in all things. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Come on, give the Lord praise today, would you? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jonathan, for covering for us today on the keyboard. And you appreciate Jonathan Faison? Amen. Come on. I know you didn't notice this probably, but he's the twin of Krista. Is that right? Okay. One of her twin brothers. Amen. Amen. He's my brother too, from another mother, right? Well, praise the Lord. We appreciate you covering today on the keyboard. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in the presence of God. We're in the revision series. Amen. Say revision. What does that mean? When we revise something, it means we adjust, we synchronize, we get a fresh glimpse. Come on. I always love this time of year. I never get tired. You say, well, I've heard you mention some of these things before. If you hang around here long enough, you'll hear this again. All right? Amen. I'm not ashamed of that, because listen, we need to be reminded. I told you last week, Vince Lombardi is a football coach, greatest football coach of all time. He told his players every year, as they sat in a locker room, he tossed up the pigskin between his hands here. And he said, gentlemen, this is a football. And there's a goal down there. And 100 yards this way, there's another goal. And he said, our goal, our plan, our purpose, our heart, our passion is to get into the other guy's territory and score points. It's going to be rough out there. You're going to encounter people that you think that you're stronger than they, but they're stronger than you. And he tell them basics all the time. And my brother was a UPS worker for 34 years. And every morning without exception, Monday through Friday, they sat in a room in Edenton, North Carolina. And for 30 minutes, they talked about safety on the highways. Safety on the highways. And they would say something like this, guys, today you're going to get in a truck. And you're going to get out on the highways of northeastern North Carolina, and you're going to ride from house to house delivering packages that people are expecting. We want you to get there safely. And so every day. And if you look at their record, they've got one of the most impeccable driving records of any company in this nation. Because they went over the basics, and they made sure the basics were ingrained in them. So I want to share with you in the second of these messages. We're in the revision series, and we begin the first here, January of this year. And we looked at the first of our four key points in our mission as a church. Would you say that with me? Our mission as a church. Come on, one more time. Our mission as a church. This is what our heart is. What is it? Carpenter Shop International Church is a multi-ethnic. In case you didn't notice it, look around. It's a multi-ethnic, multi-generational. Everybody's not the same age here. This is not cookie cutter. This is not the church where everybody's almost dead. Come on. It's not. There's a lot of young people. Right now, there are kids upstairs. I don't know how many are up there this morning. There are workers, volunteers serving. Right now, there's a nursery that's open. Right now, children of a younger generation are being prepared and equipped for what God has for them. It's a multi-generational body of believers whose vision, here we go, is to love all people. Some of you picked up my book last week. One of them says, all dressed up and no place to go. How many of you read the book this week? Come on, anybody? Listen, it's a great story. It's my story, but it's a great story. And God will speak to your heart through that. If you'd like a copy of that, stop by the table, and we'll see you after the service. But it's all about vision and purpose in my life, the track that God took me down. We love all people, okay? And then our purpose is to win them to Christ, build them in discipleship, and send them out of here so that they can fulfill their divine destiny. Right now, in the inner workings of the church, there's a person or two that are looking right now at opportunities to leave Carpenter Shop and go where we assign them somewhere else. You say, Pastor, you're always doing that. I'm always going to do that. Our job is to push you out of here if you've got the call of God on your life and get you to where you can fulfill the destiny assigned to your hands. Amen? And for the rest of us, maybe you're not being in full-time ministry. Maybe you're not feeling that God wants to use you as a specific gift or office in the ministry, but you just want to serve the Lord and do everything you can to build His kingdom. We want to send you out too. We just want you to come back the next Sunday. Come on. All right. Okay. We don't want you to go nowhere. Okay. So we've had the pleasure in the last 30 years of sending out 28 people into ministry. Amen. God is good. And we send them out to fulfill their divine destiny. Today, we talk about not loving, but winning. Last week, we talked about love, highlighting the fact that God has called us to do what? Love all people. Today, I want to speak to you about that second key word from our mission, and that is to win. Somebody say win. God wants us to win people to Him, to see people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, trusting Him for salvation. You know, God's advancing the church. God's advancing the church all over the world, but God's advancing our church. We had a guy playing the bass guitar this morning. How many of y'all looked at the worship team and said, who's that? Who are all these people? Anybody looked at the worship team this morning and said, who are they? That's Bobby Lane. He's a part of Carpenter Shop. He just moved his family from Texas, Austin, Texas, to Ahoskey, North Carolina. Okay. And we don't wait 6 months to a year to make sure that, you know, you're qualified. You're qualified if you're a child of God, okay? And so Bobby is moving on Albemarle Drive. What's the address? 221 Albemarle Drive. And the reason I say that real loud is because Monday, somebody say Monday, afternoon, we need some men to unload a truck, all right? Have muscles, will work. What a better way to welcome a family to the church than to show up at 221 Albemarle Drive and help them unload some furniture, okay? And then Tuesday, somebody say Tuesday. We have another family that just moving from Richmond, Virginia, and their truck will be here Tuesday, all right? So listen, God, listen, if you won't get people saved in this area, God will just reposition them from other places and come on and move them in here. Come on. So you got to get busy. So Tuesday, the Shepherds move from Richmond, Virginia, and afternoon, they're going to need some help too unloading the truck. So we appreciate your willingness to do that. If you're willing to do that, just let me know or show up at 221 Albemarle Drive tomorrow afternoon with a willing heart to love on somebody. Amen. It's all about loving and it's all about winning. God wants us to win people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that's what should happen as we proclaim, here we go, the gospel, as we proclaim the good news and release the gospel, it literally becomes, as Paul said, the power of God unto salvation. When the gospel, the good news, the evangelion, that's where we get our word evangelism from. When we release the good news, what happens? It pricks the heart. God, aren't you glad God pricks your heart? God pricked my heart yesterday about something. We call it conviction. And so when you release the gospel to someone in love, in the power of the Spirit, God brings conviction and they open up their heart with an opportunity to receive Him. Okay? It's about winning people, preaching the gospel, proclaiming the power of God unto salvation. The Bible also says that God does what? He confirms His word. God confirms His word. Hebrews 2:4. Look at this. God also testified to it by signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will. God confirms His word in that when you win somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ, God begins to move in their life and begins to release spiritual giftings that they have been given or endowed with by the presence of God. God began. How many of y'all know that you're not the same person you were before you got saved? Come on. You're just not. And God is releasing new things. And God wants to release new things into your life in 2022. The gospel convicts. It moves the heart. It moves the spirit of man. And the Holy Spirit is the one who does the work. You see, you don't have to save people. You can't. You can't save people, but you can share about the person who can save. Come on, somebody. You can share about the person who can wash away their sins. You can't save them. You can't save yourself. But you can share the gospel, and you can share about Jesus, the only one who's able to save people from their sins. In recent months, I preached a funeral. And in that funeral, the Holy Spirit allowed me to close that service. I used to not do this. Years ago, I didn't do it. But now I never miss a funeral for an opportunity to share the gospel. In some way, you share the gospel. And I preached the funeral, and at the close of the funeral, I just easily, by the Holy Spirit, just slid the gospel in there. And I opened up an opportunity at the end of the service for people. If you're here today, listen, every time I preach a funeral, I become a better Christian. Every time I marry somebody for the next few weeks, I'm a better husband. Come on. Every time I dedicate a baby, I become a better father. It just works, you know, it just happens. So when I preach funerals, I all of a sudden become closely connected to my own mortality. I think about death more, okay? And so I was preaching this funeral, and I shared the gospel, and I'm talking at the end, and I opened up the altar, and guess what? Four people raised their hands and came forward to receive Christ as Lord. Amen? And so I had the blessing of speaking to one of them after the service, because I knew a little about his life, and he walked by the viewing on the way out the church. He walked by the viewing, and tears were streaming down his face. And I reached into my pocket, and I passed him one of my cards, one of my ministry cards. I said, "Hey, man," I said, "listen, I want to just tell you, today you made a decision. But can I just tell you something? Don't let that just be a decision that you made. You need to be discipled. You need to become a student of the Word and sit at the Lord's feet." That's what it means to be a disciple of Christ. It means the word is translated pupil or student. And you take a seat at the feet of the Lord and you receive from His Word. And can I just tell you something before you think you're all that in a bag of chips? You will live your entire life being a student of the Word of God, sitting at His feet and learning. You can never stop learning the things of God. Amen. And so that's why, listen, that's why when you're out, pastor may say, "Hey, man, I've been missing you lately." It's not because we want to just impress people by having a full house. It's because we sincerely care about your walk with God, and we want you to be in the school of the Spirit, always learning and ever learning more of the things of God's kingdom. Come on, give the Lord praise today. So I said to him, I said, "Listen, you need to be discipled." And you and I will cover that next week. We're loving, we're winning. Next week we're going to be building, okay? Building up people in their faith. And so I congratulated him on his decision to follow Jesus. He was a man, and I knew it, who had been in and out of jail. He had been in and out of prison. His life had been filled and with confusion and hardship and difficulty according to his own testimony. Okay? He said, "Man, I've had a rough journey." I said, "Well, I know a little about you, but not a lot." But he had a rough journey, and I talked to him, and I talked to him about living this new life in Christ and how God had positioned him to live a life of transformation. And so I can tell you today that that was a little while ago, but I can tell you today that he's still in a posture where he's receiving from the Lord. It's not here in this church, but he's receiving from the Lord, and God is, here we go, transforming. You see, it's not an event, it's a lifestyle. Come on. Paul said, "I go from what? Glory to glory to glory." You're on a walk with God, and God is changing you. You're not altogether changed. Oh, we believe in sanctification. We believe that it's instant, because when you got up from the altar, you know full well you're not the same man or woman that you were when you came to the altar. But listen, you're on a journey for God to transform you little by little, and day by day God changes you and causes you to come in line a little more in His image and His likeness. Come on. That's what happens. That's what happens. And so let's take a look at what the Bible says about this opportunity for salvation. It's not really hard. We have to be willing to speak up. We have to be willing to open our mouth. We have to be willing to share our own story, to proclaim the powerful message of the gospel. It's the gospel that Paul reminds us that is the power of God that results in salvation. Let's take a look at what it says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 to 17. Look at what it says here. But in your hearts, check this out. But in your hearts, not in your head, in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Not just Savior, okay? Not just Savior. Thank God for the insurance of Him snatching you out of the jaws of the devil, out of a devil's hell, and putting your feet on a rock. But you've got to look at this as that's just the beginning of a process that God has begun. It's wonderful to be saved, but God just doesn't want you to be saved. He wants you to be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, full of the Holy Ghost, filled with the gifts of the Spirit. God wants you to have the whole package. He does. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always, somebody say always. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope that you have. And guess what? People know it. People notice when you're a believer. People notice you have that characteristic of peace. You might have been through hell and high water, but you're still standing. Come on. You might have been through COVID, and it might have wrecked your family and got every one of you, but you're still standing. You might have struggled in your business life or in your workings as an employee, but God has you steady and strong, and you're still standing. It might be tough once in a while, but God has you still standing. Why? Because you're rooted and grounded in your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and your life is built and established on the Word of God. Amen? And so that's how you stand strong in a wicked world today. He said, you always need to be willing to give an answer to everyone who asks you about that hope that you have in you, but do this with gentleness and respect. You don't win people by telling them, look, if you don't straighten your tail up, you're going to hell, boy. That's not how you win people. Now, it might be true. If he don't straighten up, his tail's going to hell, okay? But Peter says, how do you do this? You do this in love. You do this in the power of the Spirit. How do you do it? You do this with gentleness and respect. They may be as cantankerous as the day is long, but you've got to have patience with non-believers, okay? They may frustrate you. They may drive you crazy, but you've got to be gentle and respectful of people. Verse 16, keeping a clear conscience so that those, check this out, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ, oh goody two shoes, okay, they may say, look at him, oh holy roller, always trying to get in my mess. He needs to just walk his own life out and leave me alone. That's what people will say about you, inquiring about whether I'm ready or not for Christ. Shucks. I can handle him. You know, people get angry when you share the truth with them sometimes. But he said, this is what he says. He says, you keep a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. When they come to him, they'll say, man, you know what? I used to rail that guy, but thank God for Wallace Phillips, you know. Thank God for John Doe. Thank God for James Morgan. You know, that, you know, I used to rail him. Do you know that I know people that are saved today that have told me, you know what, I used to not like you at all. Now I love you to pieces, okay? Used to not like you at all. I said, well, why was that? They said, you know, I just got miserable when you came around. That's the Holy Ghost, man. That's just the Holy Spirit. But you want to be certain that you are gentle to them, and make sure that you are respectful to them. Peter says this, because so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior, they're going to one day be ashamed. Verse 17, for it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than to suffer for doing evil. Come on. I'd rather suffer and live this life as a child of God than suffer and be locked up there in the jailhouse. Come on. I'd rather suffer in this life and go to heaven, a place that God's prepared for me, than to suffer in the other life and end up spending eternity in the devil's hell. Lord means this. It means you're the owner or the possessor of a thing. When Christ is your Lord, that means he literally, you've acknowledged that he owns you. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. And God created man. And the Bible says he breathed into man and man became a living soul. Listen, he created you. And so when you receive Christ as Savior, then the process, listen, that's easy, man. I can open up the altar at the end of this service and say, okay, guys, you know, you heard the gospel today. You heard how God transforms your life through the power of the cross and the blood of Jesus. How many of you would like to receive Christ as Lord? And we get excited. Oh, praise God. You know, four people came to faith today. But coming to faith is just the what? First step. You know, we have a tendency to, you know, to be like Morris the cat and think there's nine lives to this thing. Because you look at the altars and sometimes people come forward and you say, hey, you've been going to church here 15 years. How can I pray for you today? Susie, Sally, Bob, Jim, whatever your name is. I just want to give my heart to Christ. Wait a minute, you did that. You did that 15 years ago. So what happens is if you do not, hear me church, if you do not establish yourself and ground yourself in the Word of God, you will easily backslide and you will easily walk away from that decision that you made. Man, I'm just preaching the truth. That's just all. It's just the truth. If you don't ground yourself in the Word of God, then you'll just be one who just, you know, you'll go from here and there and everywhere. I'll just go where the party is. You ever see nosy people on Facebook and they say, hey, I just heard fire truck go by. Anybody know where the fire is? Why don't you shut up and pray for the family whose house is on fire right now? You're so busy trying to find out whose house is on fire. Some people like to chase fire. Some people like to run over everywhere they can, and they're not going to get settled nor grounded anywhere. Okay? Everybody does that sometimes in their life. Yeah, let's go over here. Let's go over. Especially when you first get saved. We go here, there, and everywhere. But God wants you to get settled in one place and receive the regular diet of God's word, okay? Because I guarantee you, if you go to Pastor so-and-so's church and Pastor so-and-so's church and Pastor so-and-so's church, that you're going to be fed a different type of meal. Find you a place where you know the word of God in its truth and fullness is proclaimed and be willing to sit there. You say, well, I don't like to worship. Well, maybe you need to try somewhere else then. Find somewhere where maybe you go to a church you love the worship, but you don't like the preacher. Can I ask you a question? How can we make you happy? We can't. Can I just tell you something? I could be sitting in First Baptist Church in Ahoskie this morning and I'd be okay. I could run out of town and go down to the Soul Saving Station and I'd be okay. I could just go over toward Powellsville and stop by Powellsville Baptist Church and I would be okay. You know why? Because I'm mature enough in my walk with God that I'm not just into the bells and the whistles. I can make it, but maybe they don't shout. Maybe they don't speak in tongues. Maybe they don't pray like we do openly. Maybe they don't have lights in the church. It doesn't matter. I will be okay because I've been walking with God for a season, okay? But when you're young in the faith, you think you got to have it your way. This is not Burger King, okay? This is not Burger King. You come and you sit and you say, you know what? I don't understand. I said this a couple of weeks. I don't understand why Pastor Wallace does this. I don't understand why he does it this way. I love him to death, but drives me crazy. Just pray for me. Just pray for me. I'm not perfect. I'm not. I'm pretty close. I'm pretty close, okay? No, I'm not. Okay. I just want to see if you're listening to me, all right? All right. I'm not perfect, just forgiven. And listen, anytime you change leadership in anything, this week we changed leadership in two places in our church. The youth are now led by the Rascos, Julie and Abdul, okay? This was their first week. So guess what's going to happen? The youth are going to be texting each other. What'd you think about that? Okay. What'd you think about that? You know, I don't know. I like Pastor Anoli. You know, we made a change, okay? We've made a change, not out of emotion. There were no emotions in it. We just made a change, okay? We made a change for what we feel is something God has orchestrated, okay? We made a change in the worship team. Joshua Blevins was leading in worship, leading the team for the last couple of years. Josh is no longer going to lead the team. He's still on the team. He's still going to be doing powerful vocals and playing the keyboard. But Krista Faison Hall is going to lead that team. Today was her first day leading the team on the platform. Did she do it a little different than Joshua did it? The answer is yes. You know why? Different leader, okay? So you can say, I don't like that. What's wrong with you? No. What you're saying is, this is not what I have been accustomed to. But anytime a change is made, God always has something in store that he wants for his people, okay? So, it may stretch you a little bit. Come on, man, we ain't been doing it that way. You know the 7 most deadly words for the church? I have never done it that way. That's the 7 most deadly words for the church. I teach it to leaders all the time. Be willing to flex. Be willing to stretch. Be willing to change. Be willing to allow God to take you to a new place, because it may be a struggle for you. I have a way of doing things. You see me walk up here every Sunday morning. I open my little iPad. I lay it on the thing right here. When I go to other churches, man, it's a nightmare. You don't have one of these? Come on, man. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? That you got a table? I'm not used to a table. But you know what I do? I don't gripe and complain. I get me a hymn book and I lay it on the flat table and prop my iPad up so I can see it. Okay? You got to adjust, man. You got to be flexible. And when you're flexible and pliable, I love this. God can accomplish this new work in you that he desires to accomplish, okay? It may stretch you a bit. And see, when you get stretched, what you want to do is fire back at somebody, okay? I don't like this. Okay? So you have to be careful. Okay, I'm just going to chill. I'm just going to see how things go here. Just kind of be patient. See, God wants, because he's doing what? He's building you. I won't get into next week, but he's building you. Okay? Verse 15 says, but in your hearts, revere. Look at what it says here. Revere Christ as Lord. I'm a preach teach, okay? He says, revere Christ as Lord. What does that mean? Revere is a powerful word. Lord here is the possessor of a thing. When you revere someone, you have a reverential trust, a respectful trust. Revere here is translated, one translation puts it like this, but in your heart, he uses the word sanctify in verse 15. It means to set apart. In other words, he's calling you, as you come to Jesus now, he's calling you to set apart Jesus as what? As Lord in your life. Listen, he's Savior for some of you, but he ain't Lord over your pocketbook yet because you don't pay your tithes. I always run up there, and you're the one that makes it hard for the team. They got to unroll your 12-way folded dollar bill. Just drop it in, okay? So they won't have to unfold it. Why? And you folded it up because you didn't want anybody to see it. Hello? I've been on the other side too. I've been a chintzy giver too. I got about 3 laughs out of that. What's up with this crowd? Come on, man, lighten up. But see, if you do what the Bible says, bring the tithes into the storehouse so that there may be food on my table. And see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. See, if you're willing to liberally give, you have nothing to be ashamed of. You just walk up there and pop it into plate and go on about your business. You're not going to try to fold it, conceal it, hide it. Okay? When he's Lord of your life, he'll get into your pocketbook. When he's Lord of your life, he'll get into your television. Hello? You won't sit at home and watch the same things you've been watching. Okay? In fact, you don't need Cinemax. You don't need HBO. You don't need Showtime. You don't need those things. Why? Will they send you to hell? No, they'll bring hell to you. Yeah? Come on. They won't send you there. They'll bring hell to you. And so then you wonder why your kids are growing up learning things that they should have never learned because they've been sitting by playing with their blocks on the floor watching you watch your stuff on the TV. In your hearts, set apart, revere Christ as what? As Lord. He's the one who owns me. He's the one who possesses me. And so therefore, I don't make my decisions. By his leadership, he makes my decisions. Come on, man, this is good whether you like it or not. We're called to win people to the Lord, and in your hearts, be set apart. And if you have been, set him apart as the owner and the possessor of your very life, verse 15, second part of it says this, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Peter says, be ready to explain why you have hope in this life. Be ready to tell them about Jesus. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And you and I need to be prepared. Be ready to give people an overview of salvation in your life and hopefully in theirs. We talk a lot. Look at what we do as people, as individuals. Man, we got these gadgets right here. We talk a lot. We text a lot. We message. We email. We Snapchat. We Marco Polo. We Instagram. We Marco Polo. We do everything. We talk to people a lot. Why don't you use every medium that you have to tell people about Jesus? Amen? To just make a statement for the kingdom. So I just put up a picture yesterday. I wasn't at the men's meeting, but several men were. And I said to one of them, I said, hey, man, text me a picture of the men gathering around the table, if you would. And he sent me a picture, and I went straight to Facebook with it. Hey, God's people, God's men gathering today, connection. That's all I said. Matt chimes in, says, hey, man, I can't wait to see this as a crowd of people from all various churches coming together under one building. See, he just threw fertilizer on it. See? I put a picture up there. He put gas on it. Pew! Fired up. He said something else about it. Positive. Okay? Wish I could have been there, he said. Okay? So, listen. It's our opportunity to spread, to share, to proclaim any way we possibly can. We got all kinds of ways to communicate. All kinds of ways. I remember when I got saved, I took the time to write down the Roman road to salvation. I came to Jesus through joy. You know the story. I came to Jesus through the girl I was dating. Because the girl I was dating had already come through the fire. She had already come through that season of testing. And here I am showing up asking her to go out. And the first night that I took her out, I remember it so well. I remember what I had on. I remember what she had on. I just used to wear them Don Johnson painter's pants, man. Come on. Anybody remember them? Miami Vice, come on. I remember them Don Johnson painter pants, had me a Hawaiian shirt. She had on a jean skirt and a gold blouse. Come on. 94 pounds. I'm always been a big boy. I was weighing about 247. Come on. Okay. And I took her off and out of the driveway, went down to the end of Snug Harbor Road, took a right heading to Elizabeth City, and you know what I asked her, Jonathan? Hey, what you want to drink? What you want to drink? She said, well, she started revering Christ as Lord to me. She said, well, I don't drink. And she began to tell me the reasons why she didn't drink. Okay? She began to tell me about the relationship that she had with Christ. And a song came in my head. Gonna be a long night. should I turn around and go home? I mean, how do you have a date and not drink? You know? I mean, I had a track record here. I have a reputation to uphold. Okay? And she's telling me about her walk with God. And something supernatural happened to me that night. I started thinking about marriage. I'm thinking, this is crazy. This is absolutely crazy. I don't even want to be married. And I'm thinking about, you're going to marry this girl. And I thought, man, this is sick. I don't get this. And guess what? Within a year, I was married. And when this is a matter of days, I had repented of my sin and I had come into the family of God as a child of the living God. Thank you, Joy, for leading me to Jesus Christ. Okay? She stood and she allowed the Lord to be Lord of her life. And she proclaimed the gospel to me, the good news, and it pricked my heart. And I was won to the kingdom of God. So after I was saved, I remember just writing down scriptures. I opened my Bible, okay, and I wrote down the Roman road to salvation. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10:9-10. For if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For it is with the heart that man believeth unto righteousness, and it is with the mouth that he confesses and is made brought unto salvation. I wrote that down in my Bible. You know why? Because I wanted the courage to share that with somebody. Her family shared that with me, okay? Her family shared the gospel with me. In the next few days after I was saved, they started discipling me at their house. I mean, we used to do stupid stuff like go camping in the backyard. You ever done that? We were camping in the backyard. We camped in the backyard. So we're laying out there, you know, under the stars. We didn't go to the campground. We're just sleeping outside, cooking hot dogs over the fire. 1 John 1:9, her mama would yell out. And so she'd wait for somebody to say, but if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you know, and just all these scriptures would come out and we would just say them in the backyard, okay? And I began to say, wow, they know the Bible. And so I wrote down these scriptures in my Bible because I wanted to be able to share. If somebody said, hey, I heard you got saved, man. Tell me about it. And I wanted to just be able to just kind of open my Bible, you know, and just see it down there and say, well, you know, God did an amazing work in me because we're all sinners. You know, Romans 3:23 says all have sinned. Okay. Yeah, that's true. And I just wanted to be, I wanted to have the cheat sheet, man. Come on. So now as a Christian, as a born-again Christian who is discipled into the ways of God, I don't need a cheat sheet. All I have to do is rely on years of what has been deposited into my spirit. I don't need a cheat sheet, okay? I can tell you, okay? If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Man, if I'd had that when we were camping in the backyard, I'd have been okay, but I couldn't say it. I stood there, you know, what does that say? What does that say? But I wrote scriptures down, and I went on a mission of trying to learn God's word, okay? And so listen, that's what you got to do. You need to write down, if you don't know it from your heart, write these things down so you can give an answer. And that's what I did. I wrote them down, and I learned the word of God. I learned the word of God. That's when I first started out. But now I can make my way through to any circumstance I run into, and God, by the Holy Spirit, will bring up a scripture that I know. He will just bring it right up into that great deposit of my spirit. And the important thing is to be prepared. And verse 15, third part of that says, do this with gentleness and respect. You and I are not called to condemn. We're not called to beat people down. Sin has enough guilt built in with it. You know? Listen, if you're sitting here this morning and there's a vice in your life you have yet to get control of, you know it. You know it. You don't have anybody to remind you. You know that this does not please God, okay? And because every sin has guilt with it. So we share the gospel in love, and Peter simply says here that we should be gentle and respectful in our approach, winning, not trying to condemn. Verse 16 and 17, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander, for it is better if it's God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Peter is reiterating here the importance of following the Holy Spirit as a gentleman. And he says, if they talk about you, let it be for good, that you did in sharing your faith. And even when they do that, the Holy Spirit can still work and can cause them to be ashamed for talking about you. That's the Phillips translation. They'll be ashamed of themselves for talking about you. Because, man, I used to run that guy down, man. I'm sorry. They'll be ashamed of their slander. But you got to share Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit and let Him do the work. We must, because I did a bit of a study on statistics on this. Mormons, how many of y'all know the Mormons, okay? Listen, they're gone from Ahoskie, praise God. They shut the church down, it's for sale. Come on, praise God, that's a wonderful thing. They're gone. Listen, Mormons are dangerous. They're wonderful people, they're kind people, but they're dangerous, okay? Because they're following a cult. Mormonism is not Christianity. It's not. 58,000 young men on a mission are winning an average of 300,000 converts a year to Mormonism. You know why? Because they're willing to tell their son, listen, you're 18 years old, man, get your bicycle and hit the road. 2 years, you're going on a mission. Put on a pair of black pants, white shirt, and a tag. You're going to be gone for 2 years. Then you can decide which college you want to go to. The parents make them go on that mission. And in going on that mission and sharing their cultic message, they have snatched 300,000 converts every year for the last several years, following after Mormonism. Jehovah's Witnesses. Saturday mornings when you sleep late. Saturday mornings when you're doing your flowers. Saturday mornings when you want to play your favorite sport. You know what they're doing? They're meeting up with other Jehovah Witnesses. And they're knocking on doors. And because of doing that, they're winning 250,000 converts to Jehovah's Witnesses every year in America. They're adding every year at least 250,000. And they too are cultic, but they're doing it out of their works. Yet, I do have some great news about the good news. Come on. Christianity in the world is now reporting 2.7 million people getting saved to a born-again relationship in Jesus Christ every year in this world. 2.7 million. Studies show that significantly more people have converted from Islam to Christianity in the 21st century than any other time in Islamic history. Muslims are coming to Jesus. In a January article last year, The Blaze, a magazine, reports that Muslims are coming to Jesus by the thousands in Syria, Iraq, Iran, Jordan, and the Middle East. I've been to all of those countries. In fact, just about 3 years ago, Franklin Graham and his Ministry of Samaritan's Purse dedicated a brand new 50-bed trauma hospital in Iraq. 50-bed hospital in Iraq. And they're sharing the gospel as an average of 3,000 people a day were fleeing the city of Mosul every day as Iraq and the coalition forces, you remember, they were fighting ISIS. And thousands of people were fleeing every day. And people were getting injured by ISIS, and they were sent to Franklin Graham's 50-bed hospital. And yes, they were binding up their wounds, but you know what else they were doing? They were telling them about a man called Jesus who died on the cross of Calvary and could save them from their sins. And yes, they were healing up their wounds, but they were also penetrating hard hearts with the good news of Jesus Christ. And people were getting saved by the thousands. CBN reported recently that there are some 360,000 Christian believers that are now alive and sharing the gospel in Iran, where in 1979, it was noted in Iran there were only 500 professing Christians in 1979. 500, 360,000. Somebody's sharing the gospel. Okay? The bottom line is this. The gospel is being preached and people are being saved around the world. But what about your neck of the woods? Listen to what he says here in this passage. I'm going to read it to you one more time. 1 Peter 3:15-17. Let it be embedded on your heart. But in your heart. Come on. In my heart. Revere, respect, trust, set apart Christ as Lord. Always, Wallace Phillips, be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks me for the reason for the hope that I have. And do this, Wallace, with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience that those who speak maliciously against you, Wallace, and your good behavior in Christ may also be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good, Wallace, than for doing evil. I'm going to ask you to do something this week as we come to a close. I don't use a paper Bible very much anymore. I read a lot online. I got it in my phone. I got it on my iPad. I got it everywhere. Sometimes I just like to sit down with pages. You know, it's just a powerful thing to hear those pages. And I can pick up my Bible, which is, it's got my skin oils on it. It's greasy. It's soiled and dirty looking. I've got a Bible that I've had covered, recovered in genuine leather twice. $125, $130 put you a brand new cover on your $19 Bible. Done it two times. And in the front of my Bible, it's still there. Open the cover, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 10:9. But in my Bible is a list of names. One of those guys is in this room today. Because when I moved to Ahoskie in 1992, 30 years ago, I had to eat, so I went to the Golden Corral. I had to get my car fixed, so I'd go to Britton Ham's Rebuilding Services. I had a cracked windshield one time, so I went to a business on Main Street where Eddie Smith used to run. Ahoskie Radiator and Glass, Skinny Smith's son. And I started writing down these guys' names, Scott Wolf. And Scott Wolf can tell you, two or three days a week, you know what I would do? I go in the back door. Hey, Scott. Scott, you here? Yeah, come on in, Pastor. Have a cup of coffee. He wasn't serving the Lord. But I'd go in and sit down with him, and we'd talk. Because I had written Scott Wolf in the front of my Bible. Because I had a meal at Golden Corral. And I started praying for Scott Wolf. Lord, save Scott Wolf. Lord, do a work in Scott Wolf's life. I started praying for Thomas Brittenham. Lord, get a hold of Thomas Brittenham. Get a hold of him and save that man. I started praying for Eddie Smith. Lord, save Eddie Smith. I'd go to him and he would rail Christianity. He would. I'd go up there sometime and just talk to him and sit down and go in the back room. I'd just invade their private areas, you know. Come on the backside where the thing said employees only. I'd walk right back there. And they never said anything to me. Hey, Pastor, how you doing, man? And Eddie sometimes would say negative things about the church. He would say negative things about preachers. He had one or two he liked to jump on real hard, and he wanted to see what I would say about it. And I just let him talk. And he would use cuss words a lot more when I showed up than probably he did before I got there. He wanted to just throw this in my face. You know people like that? But can I just tell you something? About 3 weeks ago, I interchanged communication with the Smiths, who now live in Wilmington. And it's a wonderful thing to know that it was after he left here that he received the Lord Jesus Christ into his heart. And today, Eddie Smith is serving God. Okay? No, I didn't get to have him here. Okay? I didn't get to have him here, but that's okay. I wasn't trying to win him to the church. I was trying to win him to the Lord. Okay? And so I would encourage you, listen. Scott Wolf could probably tell you another version of that story. I don't know what it was like when I come storming in the restaurant. Hey, man, how you doing? And we sat down and had coffee. And a lot of times we just talked about different stuff. We talked about sailing and the Outer Banks. And we talked about fishing and the Outer Banks. And we talked about yeast rolls and butter. Could I have one of those this morning? You know? We talked about a lot of different things. And then occasionally we would talk about spiritual things. And occasionally we would have a prayer, just a brief prayer. And then he got saved and he went to another church. And I was like, what? God, this ain't fair. You know? But I calmed down. It took me a while. I calmed down. I said, and then, you know, all of a sudden, one day, Scott and Carolyn Wolf walked into Carpenter Shop Church. I said, yes, yes, yes. Okay. Listen, it's not important where you go to church, okay? I just think we got the best thing going, I really do, because we love all people and we win them to Christ. That's our goal. And so I'm thankful today that Scott Wolf is serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And Scott has been through the valley of the shadow of death. Amen. And you know what? His cancer's knocked on his door more than one time. He's been to Duke more times than you've ever been in your life. And God is still causing Scott Wolf to stand strong. Why? Because he's rooted and grounded in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give the Lord praise, would you? As we prepare for an altar service, I'm going to ask you to do something. If you've got a Bible, get your Bible. And if you got an ink pen, get your ink pen. If you don't, grab your phone and open up notes if you're an iPhone user. Just open up notes. I got a bunch of them. I got one that says, to do. Okay? It's got stuff on there that I'm going to do tomorrow. I want you to let the Holy Spirit... You know, some of you like Bobby, you probably brand new, you don't know people by name around here, but you probably, if I know you, you probably already met some people since you've been in the Husky. I just want you to ask the Holy Spirit this morning, everybody, give me some names. Just give me three names. For me, it was Scott Wolf, Thomas Brittenham, Eddie Smith. Okay? Just ask the Lord to give you some names of people that, as far as you know, they're not sold out or serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And write their name down. And just today, you can start saying, God, I thank you for Scott Wolf. Lord, as I go to his business and sit down with him with coffee, would you just have your way? Would you change his life? You know, many, many years ago, when I got saved, I remember Nina Mauld, an old, old half-sister of my grandfather. She heard Wallace Phillips got saved. And they said, that woman shouted, Pastor Ted, she shouted. She said, glory to God. She said, you don't know how many times I've just said, God, don't let a drop of Philip's blood go to hell. And I'd call their names. Save Bud Zack's family. They call my granddaddy Bud Zack. Save Jack's family. His sons, Wallace and David. Save them. So you see, guess what? I'm a product of somebody's prayer. Somebody who wrote my name down. See, and put me at the right place at the right time. And I did the right thing. Ask the Holy Spirit, God, give me three names. Write those names down. If you can't get them all this morning, just think about this today. Because your job and my job is, yes, as we talked about last week, to love all people. And secondly, to win them. To win them. Lord, help us to win them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We talk about everything else all day long. Stocks, business, COVID, Biden, government, prices, shortages, toilet paper. We talk about everything. But how much are we talking about Jesus? Talk about Jesus. Lord, I pray that as names are coming to spirits and minds, that you would allow your people today to get a genuine burden for the people of whose names they write. Help them care enough to send a text today. hit them up on Facebook, Instant Messenger, something like that. Hey, I was thinking about you today. Hope you're well. That's it. I was thinking of you today. Hope you're well. That's all you got to do. You don't have to call them up and say, hey, could I talk to you for a minute? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus. No, no, no. Peter said, don't do that. Peter said, don't do that. You love on them because love is hard to reject. It is. Love is hard to reject. First of all, let me just ask you, is there anybody here this morning that you would say, Pastor, I need a rededication of my faith in Christ? Anyone at all? Just slip your hand up quickly. I just need to make a public declaration that I just need to declare Christ as Lord. Anyone at all? Anyone at all? Just need to come back to faith. Anyone at all? Just listen, if you've wandered away, just come back home. Come back home. Praise God. If you would just commit to just praying for three people. And then when you see God do incredible things in their lives, and you will, you may see them. It may take a while, but you'll see God do incredible things. Don't be surprised if the names that you wrote down, you bump into tomorrow or the next day, and you get a chance to declare your faith and see God powerfully move. If you're here today and you'd like special prayer, listen, please, if you have a need in your life, if you have a need in your body, you need healing, you're struggling with an area of your health or something like that, don't leave this place without letting someone lay hands on you and in faith agree with you that God will heal your body. We want you to come. We want you to be ministered to today. If you're struggling in an area of your life and you just need somebody to encourage you, just come. If we could have a couple of ministers or prayer people, just come. Stand right here. And as we stand together and sing, just step out of your seat and let someone minister to you today. Hallelujah. We love you. God bless you all. Thank you for allowing us to serve you. God is a good God. If you're online and you're watching today, please just put your comment in the feed there. We'll follow up with you later today. Just put your comment in the section below. Pastor, pray for me. We'll follow up with you. Let's stand together and just worship with the team as we go today. If you have a need, please, guys, step out of your seat. It may be small to you, but listen, God cares about your health. God cares about your direction. Maybe some of you are struggling. What do I do here? Which way do I go? Just step out of your seat. Let God minister to you today in the power of His presence. He's a good God. Hallelujah. Sing it, guys. Oh,
have the grace in his eyes. If grace is an ocean we're all seeking, yeah. So heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest, and I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way
upon all of us, Lord. As we go throughout this week, Lord, just remind us of the three people that Pastor had asked us to pray about, to think about, that you have put on our heart for us to just win them to you, Lord. Lord, I ask that you put a hedge of protection around each and every church family member and their family, Lord. And we just thank you for all that you're doing. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.